The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony, how are you doing this morning?
Benji, Boker Tov, Shavuot Tov. Very good, thanks. How are you doing today?
I am fantastic. What has been going on in Israel?
Well, I think that the most exciting piece of news over the weekend is not about the election, but rather about another attack that is reported to have taken place on Syrian soil against Iranian targets. And once again, of course, Israel is the party that is accused of carrying out this attack. And when we have a look and see exactly what was attacked and how it was attacked, I can see why Israel is the main culprit, even though the Israeli government and the IDF have not responded to these particular reports. The reports coming from the Syrian news agency and also from some foreign reports, which I think were based on eyewitnesses who have said that they've seen these attacks that were carried out apparently from Lebanese airspace, Israeli aircraft, we believe, from Lebanese airspace, carried out this attack against an Iranian base, which is near the city of Masyaf, which is in Hama province. And the interesting thing about the city of Masyaf is that this is also where the Russian S-300 anti-aircraft missile system has been deployed, or is in the process of being deployed. We're not quite sure whether it's actually ready yet as such. What we do know is that the S-300 was not used against the attack that took place towards this Iranian military base. So it's not clear whether the S-300 is actually ready for use or not. But what we know is that the attack was carried out against a missile factory that is apparently housed within the confines of this Iranian military base. And the factory was apparently constructing surface-to-surface missiles, which are a significant threat towards Israel, against Israel, and we understand even might have been used against Israel in the past. So there is a clear interest for Israel to ensure that this factory does not continue its production of these surface-to-surface missiles. Apparently, there were even Iranian personnel killed in the attack. Different reports are citing different numbers of casualties, but apparently there were casualties, Iranian soldiers killed, others who were injured. And of course, the buildings that were being used as this missile factory were destroyed. Two or three of the buildings completely destroyed. Other buildings took some damage in the process of those explosions. So nothing, as I say, that has been confirmed by the Israeli government, just in kind of an indirect reference made to it by Prime Minister Netanyahu when he was making a speech yesterday addressing families who have unfortunately suffered the loss of a loved one through military service. And he was addressing those families, and he did say that Israel would continue to do whatever it needs to do, including activities on the northern border. And I think that that was really the indirect reference that we inferred to the attack that took place on Saturday night. So in spite of everything that is going on in the background, the deployment of the S-300 anti-missile system. By the way, interestingly, some of those Syrian reports claimed that missiles were intercepted and successfully destroyed before they hit their targets. Maybe there were some of the missiles that were intercepted, but certainly not enough of them, because obviously there were enough missiles involved to do the damage and to hit the targets that that were intended. But certainly the S-300 not doing enough to protect not that base or not anywhere else against Israel's attacks. And of course, the background of the Russian activity and the U.S. Decision to withdraw its troops from Syria and all of the other political things that are going on in the background. Israel is still very active in an intelligence point of, from an intelligence point of view, in picking up information about what's going on beyond the Syrian border, where the Iranians are stationed, where the Iranians have bases, and where those threats are coming from on Syrian soil. And Israel clearly not hesitating to carry out these attacks when they are required.
Yeah, indeed, certainly. And somebody's wondering what can stop Iran even from building the missiles in Lebanon, which I think basically Hezbollah is doing for them, which is, I think, very, very problematic. What else is going on, Anthony, in Israel?
Well, we need to talk a little bit about the aftermath of the election. When I last spoke to Howard on Thursday morning, we were speculating that Naftali Bennett's new right party may have done enough to get past the minimum number of votes required to get seats in the Knesset. The recounts have happened. The results are now final. The new right party will not be represented in the Knesset finally, even though there was some speculation on Thursday morning that they would be there, but that is not the case. The final number of seats have now been allocated. The Likud will have 36 seats in the Knesset, having only had 30 beforehand up until from the previous election until during the period of the last Knesset. So an increase of 36 seats for the Likud. The new Kahol Lavan coalition party that was formed between Benny Gantz and Yair Lapid will ultimately have 35 seats in the Knesset. So there is actually now a difference between those two parties, even though it's only one seat. But whereas previously we thought they were going to be exactly level pegging on the same number of seats, that's not the case. And the one seat that the Likud has gained since the last time the seats were announced comes at the expense of the ultra-Orthodox religious party, which has reduced its number of seats. And so now the job of forming the government begins. And we understand that President Ruvi Rivlin will today invite the leaders of all of those parties who are represented in the Knesset to meet with him and to indicate to him which person they would support as prime minister. And he will tally up the number of seats that each of the candidates receives from those informal discussions, and he will then invite that individual who has the most support from those discussions to form a government. We believe that that individual will be Prime Minister Netanyahu. It seems as if though he has 60-plus seats that will support him being Prime Minister. And of course, then the 28-day period begins, during which time the leader of that chosen party has the time to form Knesset, to form the coalition. If during that 28 days he doesn't succeed, the law allows the president to grant him another 14 days at the president's discretion. If after 42 days he still has not managed to form a government, the president then has the right either to call upon somebody else to form a government or to potentially even go to another election if a government cannot be formed. So it's going to be interesting now over Pesach time to see how the formation of the government will go. What I think is going to be immensely interesting is that even though everybody's saying Netanyahu has 65 seats on the right side of the political spectrum who are supporting him, and I think that is correct, we do have some internal politics that goes on. And the internal politics is that Avigdor Lieberman's Yisrael Beiteinu party has already said, and Lieberman has made it clear, that he will not be prepared to sit in a coalition with the ultra-Orthodox parties. Now, those ultra-Orthodox parties represent, I think, 10 seats or 11 seats in the next Knesset, perhaps even a bit more. So they are critical in order to form the 61 seats that are required for the coalition. So if Lieberman withdraws his support for the coalition, then Netanyahu could potentially be left with only 60 seats and not the 61 majority that's required. So that could be an interesting situation. And we will see whether Avigdor Lieberman is actually true to his word when he said he will not sit in the same coalition as those ultra-Orthodox parties, or whether potentially the offer of a senior cabinet job might not convince him otherwise. And I think that this is going to be the critical crux, the critical fulcrum around which the construction of the coalition will actually pivot. And we will see how successful Prime Minister Netanyahu is going to be when he starts to dish out the jobs for the boys and when he starts to enter into those negotiations with each of the individual coalition partners about what it is that they demand of the new government in order to convince them to join the coalition. That is really where the real politics gets played, and unfortunately where the compromises begin to sneak in and where the Israeli public becomes a little bit disillusioned with the things that are being offered up by Netanyahu in order just to be able to construct his coalition. So we're going to watch that one carefully over the next few weeks. And of course, I'm sure that we will be talking a lot about it as that progresses along its way.
Yeah, absolutely. I think given how much Bennett didn't like Netanyahu, him not getting into the government actually will be the thing that affects Netanyahu the most now that he has to deal with Lieberman. So it's very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think Netanyahu's got a lot of enemies that he's going to have to somehow placate in order to pull them into the coalition. That's going to be an interesting exercise. Of course, his relationship with Lieberman goes back a very, very long way. Let's not forget that Avigdor Lieberman was actually Netanyahu's chief of staff in the prime minister's office when Prime Minister Netanyahu served his first term as prime minister. So they really were a team together at one point, working very, very closely with one another when Lieberman was the director general of the prime minister's office. But, you know, there's a lot of water under the bridge since then.
Absolutely. And we'll be following it with Anthony Reich on the Israel Report. Thank you so much, Anthony, for being with us. Now, I did just before the news, which is coming up in a couple of seconds, did just want to have a look at the different people who had come in on the sports question. So let's just have a look and see who it was that that put in. David Zimmerman, 2008, he said that's when Tiger won the Masters. Colin S says 2005. Someone else saying 11 years ago. Let's see. Anybody else coming in? No, nobody else coming in. Yeah. So the answer is in fact 2005. So thank you very much, for bringing us that. I see Mervyn saying that Bibi should give the extra seat he just got to Ayala Chaked. We'll be interested. Maybe she will join. We'll have to see. But for now, it is time for the news at 8 o'clock.